الله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد. The very beautiful and wonderful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, ذاق طعم الإيمان من رضي بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا وبسيدنا محمد sallallahu alayhi wa sallam رسولا. This is a very concise, very short hadith, but the meaning is very, very deep. In this hadith sharif, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us the fuel for ourselves to be able to conduct ourselves in a way that we can keep getting closer to Allah Ta'ala. Just to maybe digress a little bit, we are in that part of the year where this part of the year people are involved in all kinds of things, people are going to all kinds of places, doing all kinds of things in different places, and everything sounds very, very exciting, and many people who don't end up doing some of these things, then they suffer from what people have now described as FOMO. I didn't know what this means until I found out. The FOMO is fear of missing out. Fear of missing out. Now, what is this fear of missing out? What does it mean, fear of missing out? Very strange thing. Missing out what? That's a big question. So now, for example, somebody didn't go to the beach. I'm just taking one simple example. Why they didn't go to the beach? So now obviously this time of the year, what happens at the beach? What kind of environment is there? What kind of manner in which people are walking around there? It is a terrible environment that gets created there, environment of shamelessness, environment of even drinking and whatever else, complete shamelessness, haya, even the shreds of haya. One is now, for example, some cloth, you tore it into 10 pieces, now you got 10 pieces, they're all torn, but then somebody shredded it into small, small shreds, and then sometimes that shred gets shredded up, you can't even see anything left. That's what happens to haya in these kind of environments. So now, somebody decided, no, I'm not going to go. And then they're encouraging others also, look, don't go. So now the person who is being encouraged, see, but my friends are going to be there, my cousins are going to be going, some other family members, or this person, or that person. And then what? So if they're going, so what? Say, I'm going to miss out. So the fear of missing out. So then, you miss out, then what will happen? If you miss out, will you starve to death? Miss out. So will you starve to death? No, I won't starve to death because I got food in my house. Alhamdulillah. Allah Ta'ala's fazal, karam, ihsan. I got food. Will you probably die of thirst if you don't go to the beach? Maybe all the water of the ocean you'll need to drink. Says, no, I don't need to drink the water of the ocean. It's very salty water. Allah's fazal, I have got water at home. So I'm not going to die of thirst if I don't go to the beach. So then maybe if you don't go to the beach because your cousins are going and your friends are going and your neighbors are going and this person and that person is going, so if you also don't go, you'll probably suffer with some disease, some illness, maybe some plague might catch you or whatever else. He says, no, actually going there can become risky for health. But if you're not going there, then you're not going to have a risk to your health. In fact, far more safer in your home. So then what are you missing out on? Because you're not going to die of thirst. You're not going to be starving to death. You're not going to be risking yourself to get sick by going, by not going. Rather, by going, you might get sick as a risk factor. So then what are you going to miss out on? Now, this becomes such a issue, fear of missing out. FOMO, they call it. I only heard about this recently. But now, because of that, person goes anywhere, wherever everybody is going, whatever everybody is doing, I have to do the same. But then what we lost out? There's a big thing we lost. If we went, we're going to miss out on a very big thing. Meaning, went to any of these kind of environments, these kind of places, places where haya is now trampled, the general atmosphere and environment is not conducive to deen. It rather makes a person's mind turn in a different direction. So all these places, what we will lose out on? We lose out on what is priceless if we go. And that is the ta'alluq and connection with Allah Ta'ala, the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. In these kind of environments, we become distanced from our Rabb. We lose out on deen, on the noor of iman. Now, these are not things that we can just take lightly. Well, okay, if I have it, mashallah, I don't have it, so what? Na'uzubillah, thumma na'uzubillah. This is the most important thing that we have, what Allah has blessed us with. The most important aspect is our iman, our deen, our Islam. And if a person has that importance, if a person genuinely has that importance, then they will look after it. They will not expose it to that which will harm their deen. They won't put their deen into jeopardy. That will not be the case. They will not harm their deen. Person has some valuable item, somebody gave you a gift or you bought it, whatever, but it's now a bit of a valuable item, might be some piece of jewelry, cost a few thousand, maybe cost a few hundred also. But you look after it. Why? Because it costs some money. How much? Maybe 500 rands. One, whatever it might have been, one ring or something. Now you're looking after it. Why? You paid money for it, 500 rands. Is our iman cheaper than 500 rands? Cheaper than 300 rands? Cheaper than 100 rands? For 100 rands also, we look after things. And our iman, our deen, our connection with Allah Ta'ala, attaining the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, is it cheaper than 100 rands also? Na'uzubillah, summa na'uzubillah. But this is the time of the year when people don't think twice. Anything that everybody else is doing, I don't want to miss out. So I have to be there. I have to do it. Why? But what's the reason? Why, if everybody else is there, then I have to be there? There must be some underlying. Supposing up front it was known that you see all the people who are going to be in a certain place today at 5 o'clock, for example now. 5 o'clock, wherever it might be, in a certain venue, whoever is going to be there, there's going to be a lot of exciting things happening there. A lot of exciting things, going to be a lot of fun and entertainment. But at 5 o'clock, this entertainment is going to start. Whoever is going to be there, they all will be gathered there. Between 5 and 6, there are some people who have planned to come and pounce on this gathering, on these people who are here. They're going to rob them of everything. Maybe some might get killed in the process. But this is going to happen. They're going to come and they're going to rob everyone. Now, but the entertainment and the fun is going to be on another level. But this group of thieves and thugs, they are coming very heavily armed. No police, etc. is going to be able to stop them. They're going to come and raid this whole place and rob everyone and whatever else. Now, who in their right mind will go to that venue? And this is confirmed now that this is a thing that have been and the message and the news is quite authentic, will a person take a chance to go there? Why? Such an exciting time. It will be so much of fun, so much of excitement. And now, why should I miss out? If somebody comes and robs everybody else, robs me also, so one of those things, but at least we'll enjoy the fun. Nobody thinks like that. Nobody in their right mind will think like that. Rather, they say, look, don't go anywhere near. Don't go anywhere near. Now, for our life, for our health, for our wealth, we take the precautions, we sacrifice the entertainment, we sacrifice all the other things. Why? Because our life, our health, our wealth is more important to us. So now what about our iman, our deen, our Islam? Is that not more important than even the life and wealth? Are we going to live tomorrow for sure? Anybody can guarantee it? 100%? Who can guarantee it? We have hope maybe. And the person who says, I am 100%, that's a person might go away. Allah knows, we don't know. Nobody knows. Maybe the person will live till tomorrow. Then they say, no, tomorrow I'm around also. Then tomorrow, but that next tomorrow will come, person won't be around. We have no idea. And when the time comes to leave, none of these things are going to be of any benefit to us. What is going to benefit us? Our iman, our amal. Our iman, our amal. So this is what's going to benefit us. So this is what we need to work on, that don't get caught up in all this entertainment frenzy, in all the holiday mood and mode that people get caught up in and do anything and everything. It is sometimes so ajeeb what not people think about, how they go about things. The problem with this is, as time goes, people even forget. They lose track of what is deen. They completely lose track of what is permissible and impermissible. They just do anything. There are sometimes issues that come up which are really astounding, really astounding. This is not the topic, just we're going off the topic a little bit, but now it's just coming to mind. But how people lose track of deen. Now, for example, a person, now so many times this has been coming up, somebody now got, for example, proposed. What is a proposal? A proposal is a promise now, it's a commitment that, well, this family, that family met and so on, whatever was the necessary things that had to be done. And now this boy is now proposed to this girl, meaning that in a short time, they will now get married. And that's all. It's now a confirmation. Meaning first there was some discussion, there was some consideration. Now it got confirmed, okay, this proposal was put forward and it has now been accepted. So that is a proposal. That's what a proposal is all about. It's a commitment. It's a commitment now to take the next step and get them married. That's all it is. And the next step is the nikah. But the Yahud and Nasara, their style is different. So first there will be an engagement. So now formal engagement. Now how many times we hear about this, that in the formal engagement, now the families met, the bride and groom-to-be met. And that's haram. They're not married yet. But now this is happening with the full blessings of the parents on both sides. And then they're on top of that now that nikah is now still being planned for 6 months' time and 1 year's time, Allah knows best. And then in that time now, because these two people have been now proposed and then they made a so-called formal engagement, so now they are interacting and they are, it's haram. But the whole family is all okay with it. Why? Because they proposed. But now they all became okay with it. They're all okay with the haram. Now one youngster once got proposed. And then now the father was encouraging him that now you can come, you can talk to, you know, my daughter and you can phone her and so on. So he nicely made it known that, look, till the nikah is not done, I will not be interacting in any way. So now he said what is the right thing, because it's haram, any kind of interaction until the nikah is haram. So he said that I won't be interacting in any way. So what was the outcome? He became like the laughing stock, laughing at him. What kind of person is this? The father is telling him that now you can talk to my daughter and so on. He's saying, no, I won't. Something is wrong with this fellow. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Now this is what, in one hadith sharif, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the sahaba, kayfa bikum idha ra'aytumul munkara ma'rufa wal ma'rufa munkara. What will become, what a terrible state the ummah will be when you will start regarding the ma'ruf as munkar. What is right, you'll regard it as wrong. Now this person was doing what is right. What is right? That he will not be having any interaction whatsoever until the nikah. That is right. That is being regarded now as wrong. Well, munkara ma'rufa, and those who are doing the wrong things, they'll be regarded as doing the what is right. What is wrong? Now there's free interaction and whatnot is taking place. No, this is fine. This is okay. So the whole thing is capsized. And this was foretold by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that what will become the condition of the ummah when this becomes the situation. Now the person who's doing the right thing, they're making comments against him, they're doing all kinds of things, making him feel like an outcast. But he's saying, look, you can do what you want. I rather be outcast by you than being outcast by Allah Ta'ala. I rather be outcast by those who don't want to obey Allah Ta'ala, rather than becoming an outcast by those who want to obey Allah Ta'ala. So they make sabr, they listen to all those comments, and they feel happy within themselves. Now somebody didn't want to go to the beach, so they'll hear comments. Somebody didn't want to go to the souk, they'll hear comments. Somebody doesn't want to go play paddle, because of what environment is there. They'll hear some comments. Somebody will laugh at them too. But they feel happy within themselves. Why will they feel happy? Subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he started giving the da'wat towards Allah Ta'ala, he was given nubuwat, made the Rasul and the Prophet of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and now he began inviting people towards deen, inviting them towards Allah Ta'ala. Then what happened? Na'uzu billah, thumma na'uzu billah. Some started calling him sahir, that he's a magician. Somebody is saying na'uzu billah, he's majnoon. Somebody is calling him some other names. They are harming him, they are hurting him. And what he was doing, making sabr on all this. Now we can't even come to one fraction close to the sacrifices that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made. Not one minute fraction. We can't compare in any way. But this very little bit of small resemblance also is subhanallah. Not that we should ask for it, but now without asking for it, it happened now. What happened? We decided that we're going to do the right thing, that we have to do. We're not going to compromise on that. Now we're going to have to hear some big people are making comments and they're mocking us and say, Alhamdulillah, Thumma Alhamdulillah, Thumma Alhamdulillah. For the pleasure of my Allah, I am listening to these comments and making sabr on it. And in this, I'm being given a slight resemblance with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this matter as well. That he heard so many hurtful things that were said to him and he made sabr on it. He heard and he underwent so much of difficulties for the sake of deen and he made sabr on it. I've got this small resemblance, which is now involuntary. You don't ask for this, but if it happens, then you make sabr. So this little bit of resemblance has come, and this little resemblance too, subhanallah, it will bring me closer to my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I am happy with this. Yes, there's some sabr, it's sometimes a bitter gulp to swallow, but I am happy with it. But that is the approach we have to have. And when we have that approach, we'll feel the happiness within us. Happiness doesn't come from all this entertainment. That is just the salty water of the ocean. It'll just give some coolness on the tongue and it'll make the throat burn. The water is cool, so you'll feel some coolness on the tongue, but it'll hit the throat and make the throat burn. You feel more thirsty then. And the thirst will never finish. So don't fall for all these temptations, all the things that are, people just build up the hype, and everything seems so much of fun and excitement, but underlying all, underneath all that, behind the scenes, is so much of misery and heartache that comes after it. It is that cold water that hits the tongue, but it's salty when it hits the throat. Even the tongue also tastes the salt too, but then the burning starts. So let us not forget Allah Ta'ala. This is the time that now people look forward to, holiday, free, no responsibilities, but we are responsible. We are the servants of Allah Ta'ala at all times. We are the slaves of Allah Ta'ala at all times. And there is no such thing as freedom in dunya. The person is either a slave of Allah Ta'ala or slave of nafs and shaitan. Either the slave of Allah Ta'ala or the slave of nafs and shaitan. Person is taking drugs, saying, no, I'm free, I can do as I wish. He's not doing as he wishes. He's doing as nafs and shaitan have trapped him to do. So now he's saying he's free. So now he's taking more drugs. I'm free. Nobody must tell me what to do. He's taking more drugs. Now he's free to fall in the gutter. He's free lying down in the gutter, down and out. He's free to lose his whole respect. Free to become a... If the whole society now is just tired of him, free to fall. Is that freedom? Does that make sense? Is that in any way something that anybody will look forward to? That is not freedom. That is a disaster. But now, this disaster, we unfortunately, we get caught up in it, and we go into this whole drama. And when a person now finally, he's now lost where to go, what to do, in such a desperate situation, now he starts thinking, oh, this is not freedom. This was a disaster. This made me lose everything. Ask people who are in rehabs, ask people who are doing so many other issues they are facing, where it started off from. It started off from, I'm free, I can do as I please. I shouldn't be told what to do. I'm a free person. That freedom where it led to. So there's no such thing as freedom. It is either we are the slaves of Allah Ta'ala, and in the slavery of Allah Ta'ala is real freedom. Then a person is free. Yes, there's responsibilities to Allah Ta'ala. But Allah Ta'ala has, for halal, there's abundant halal. There's a few things Allah has made haram. There's a few things haram, abundant halal. But shaitan makes us want to just only go in that direction. Nafs wants to take us there. Why? Because they want to destroy us. So that looks more exciting. And the whole idea is to try and destroy the person. We should be intelligent. Don't fall into the trap of nafs and shaitan. And move ahead in the way that we become closer to Allah Ta'ala. And in this way, inshallah, we'll get the best of dunya also and the best of akhirat. So this is a time that we should not become completely lax and become heedless. Feel now we don't have any need to be responsible for anything. We'll do as we please. Allah save us from that. This is a time when we should never ever miss out on tilawat of the Quran Sharif, on the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala. This will be every day without fail. The tasbihat, the zikr, istighfar, durood sharif. This should be done without any compromise, daily, very, very earnestly, with a lot of quality in it. Now, imagine what a sad situation, what a tragic, what a sad situation. How are we going to face our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Then we tell him now that, you see, madrasa closed after that for the 1 month. I didn't recite any durood sharif on you. Why? Because I was on holiday. I was on holiday, so I didn't recite any durood sharif. I was free now. I was on holiday. What a shameful thing it would be that on the day of Qiyamah we want the intercession of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we want to be close to him. And now we're going to have to say that. But you know, so many days went past. I didn't even recite durood sharif at all. What a sad situation. What a tragic situation. And what a disaster this is. So now every day of the holidays, minimum 100 times istighfar. The Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala says, istighfiru rabbakum. Make istighfar. seek forgiveness from your Rabb. You say, no, Ya Allah, I was on holiday now, so where am I going to do this? Na'uzubillah, thumma na'uzubillah. We need to do it more now. So at least 100 times morning, 100 times evening. How many minutes does 100 times will take? So now, you're going to say it 10 times, and you can time it. How many times 10 times took? Astaghfirullah, 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 astaghfirullah. I wasn't timing, but I think about 10 seconds. So 100 times would be 100 seconds. So just over 1.5 minutes. So tell her we make it 2 minutes. We round it off at 2 minutes. So 2 minutes to fulfill Allah's command, which Allah has given in the Quran Sharif, and so many ahadith Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has highlighted, to recite istighfar deeply, consciously, from the depth of the heart. You're going to tell Allah Ta'ala, no, I'm on holiday. I don't have 2 minutes morning, 2 minutes evening to recite istighfar. Na'uzubillah, na'uzubillah, thumma na'uzubillah. And then Durood Sharif, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with a lot of love, with a lot of love, and a lot of consciousness, that what sacrifices my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made for me, that today I could be taking Allah's name. I'm a Muslim, I'm a person with Iman. Those sacrifices were for me. That stoning that he endured, that his body was bleeding from head to toe, was for me, for me. Each one of us has to think in that way. And I don't even have 2 minutes morning and evening, 2.5 minutes, to recite Durood Sharif 100 times. What love I have for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then? What claim I'm making for love? When I can't even recite 100 times Durood Sharif in the day? What claim of love is this? So I'm going to make sure it happens. Morning and evening, 100 times each. Another 2.5 minutes this will be. But nicely, properly, putting quality in it. We want quality in everything. We want quality in our shoes also. We want quality in that, maybe whatever. But the recitation of Durood Sharif, no quality. So with utmost deep-hearted love and respect and honor, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Ta'ala give tawfiq first at least 1 time, 3 times, 5 times, the full Durood Ibrahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. This is the most virtuous Durood. So at least 1 time. It's a little lengthy, little bit. 1 time at least. 3 times all the better. 5 times even better. Allah give tawfiq for more, even more better. But then, the short formula also is fine, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This too is from the Sahaba. They used to decide this or express durood in this manner. So these two things we're never going to miss out, inshallah. And then together with that tilawat of the Quran Sharif, and some kitab, some book, which will encourage us towards deen. The ideal is daily in our homes, the ta'lim of the fadaila a'mal. Fadaila a'mal we are all familiar with. Daily for 7 minutes, 10 minutes, but this will keep us boosted. A matter that we can never, ever, ever, ever compromise on is our salah. That is farz. That is Allah Ta'ala's command to us. And in good time, with good quality. Again, we want quality in the food, we want quality in everything. But the salah, that a haphazard manner, how are we going to face Allah Ta'ala then? So let us, inshallah, hold on firmly to these aspects, and we will see the tremendous happiness that comes into our hearts, the goodness that comes into our lives, and this will take us way ahead. Inshallah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will make this a means of great benefit for all of us. Allah will accept. Allah ta'ala accepted, then subhanallah, our dunya is made, our akhirat is made. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala keep us steadfast on deen and iman till our last breath. Take us on perfect iman. Allah Ta'ala save us from all the traps of nafs and shaitan, from all the places of fitna, from all the places where Allah's commands are being openly and blatantly trampled. Allah Ta'ala save us from all these things. Keep us steadfast on our amal, our tilawat of the Quran Sharif, tasbihat, etc. Allah Ta'ala grant khair and barakah. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اللهم افتح لنا بالخير واختم لنا بالخير واجعل عواقب أمورنا بالخير، بيدك الخير إنك على كل شيء قدير. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار. ربنا وآتنا ما وعدتنا على رسلك ولا تخزنا يوم القيامة إنك لا تخلف الميعاد. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين، والحمد لله رب العالمين.